Amen. You may be seated in the name of the Lord. When you know what you know, when you know what you know, if you can, if I can draw your attention to verse 29 and verse 30 of Luke 4, says they got up, drove him out of the town, took him to the brow of the hill on which the town was built in order to throw him off this cliff. But Jesus walked right through this crowd and went on his way. One of the things that we don't often talk about in Easter, and I know that Easter was just a few weeks ago. One of the things that we don't often talk about, I think we talk about Gethsemane, we talk about it, but I think one of the things that we don't quite mention as much is, and I'll throw it on the screens for you, and it may seem like a strange place to start today, but we don't often talk about the reluctant death of Christ. The reluctant death of Christ. We examine Gethsemane and we focus on a lot of aspects of it, but the reluctant death of Christ, I put it in caps, the word reluctant, something we don't talk about a whole lot. Most of us who grew up in church, we've all heard it in church. They said he didn't have to do it, but he did. I know we've all heard that. He didn't have to do it, but he did. He didn't have to do it, but he did. We used to sing a song that said he didn't have to do it, but he did. He didn't have to do it, but I'm glad, I'm glad, I'm glad, I'm glad. He didn't have to do it, but he did. That phrase is not a foreign word to us or a foreign phrase to us, all of us who have been in church. He didn't have to do it, but he did. And it's true, but I don't really know if it really quite captures the situation. And I can say it even better, and many of you can already see where I'm going, and that is he didn't want to do it, but he did. Not just that he didn't have to do it, but he did. He didn't want to do it, but he did. He said in Gethsemane, he said, Lord, if it's possible, let this cup pass from me. Lord, if it's possible, Lord, my soul is, he said to his disciples, my soul is overwhelmed with sorrow to the point of death. He was bothered by the cross. He was bothered by Calvary. He was bothered by separation from the Father. For whatever reason, we don't talk about this a lot. We don't talk about the fact that he died reluctantly. And I know folk are going to be upset because it's going to make it sound like I'm saying Jesus didn't want to die for us. I'm putting down Jesus. But the Bible is the Bible. Jesus said, Lord, if the only way for me to deal with this cup is if I drink it, not my will, but your will be done. Meaning I'm letting you know this, maybe we talked about this before I came down here. Maybe this was the plan. But now that I'm here in this body, 33, dealing with these people, seeing who I've seen and as close to them as I, if there's any other way to get this thing done, let's do it. And leaves, finds his disciples sleeping. That's how overwhelmed, wakes them up. Could y'all not wait with me 1 hour? My God, my soul is overwhelmed. Didn't I just tell y'all, this is the most stressed I've ever been in my life. I remember them talking about him sweating drops like blood. I remember folk saying he sweated literal blood. That's what they focused on. They talked a lot about the strain of the pressure of it, but beloved, we don't talk as much about the fact that Jesus did this just to be in line with the Father's desire. My God, wonder how many of us can it relate to that. I know I'm not the only one. It's not the point. But I know I'm not the only one who's saying, yeah, the only reason why I did that is because the Lord wanted it. Only reason why the Lord did that. Only reason why I said I was sorry is because the Lord wanted me to say it. Only reason why I forgave is because I'm scared I'm going to go to hell. Only reason why I even did it was because I was terrified. No, I was scared that I did it because the Bible says to do it. I did it because it was in line with the will of God for me. Did I really? Would it have been something that I would have chose to do? Lord, if it's possible, but nevertheless, not my will, but thy will be done. For all of you that are parents, your job is not to break your child's spirit. Your job is to break their will. Your job is to take them to Gethsemane. Right around 2, it's time for Gethsemane visits. About 18 months, 2 years old, once you realize they understand English, it's time for them to be familiar with Gethsemane. Mama, I don't feel, first of all, I wasn't even allowed to say what I felt like doing or what I wanted to do. I just had to do it. I better brush my teeth. My mama used to say, yours is not to do it. Yours is not the reason why. Yours is what to do or die. That I quickly learned I don't want to brush my teeth, but nevertheless, not my will, but thy will be done. I don't want to eat these nasty Brussels sprouts, but nevertheless, not my will, but thy will be done. I don't feel like taking out this trash, but it's not about what I will or want to do. It's about thy will be done. You are doing your child a disservice if you do not break them to your will. We're not talking about breaking their spirit. We're talking about their will. And if you have a strong-willed child, then you better get to breaking that will as early as possible. But I'm off. I'm sorry. What I'm saying is that Jesus had to surrender to the Father's will. He didn't want to do it, but he did. I won't keep saying it because it bothers you and me. But actually, can I take it a step further? Actually, he had the power to stop it. He had the power to stop it. One of the greatest signs of power is restraint. I'll just throw that on the screen. One of the greatest signs of power is restraint. I know you really got power when you can restrain yourself. I know you really have power when you can win and don't win. I know you really have power when you could say something, but you don't say something. I know you really have power when you could talk about somebody and totally destroy their whole situation and you don't. That's power. When you choose to go to the cross and you could stop it. You ain't said a whole lot when you didn't have no choice. If all of a sudden you say, I'm giving up chocolate cake. Well, I mean, that's great as if there's chocolate cake around. But if something happens and all the chocolate cake in the world is destroyed, and then you stand up and say, I've given up chocolate cake. Won't nobody say nothing to you because there is no more chocolate cake. But is there a piece in front of you with a cold glass of milk with some condensation? Then when you say no, thank you, that's when you, the way that I know you really have power is your restraint. Jesus said in John chapter 10, no man takes my life, I lay it down. No man takes my life, I lay this thing down. No man takes my life, I lay it down. Can we look at that passage real quick? I know I'm trying to get to my point. I got 30 minutes. Jesus says in John chapter 10, verse 17, we'll throw it on screens for you. Jesus says, the reason my Father loves me is that I lay my life down only to take it up again. But no one takes it from me, but I lay it down of my own accord. I have authority to lay it down. I have authority to take it up. This command I received from my Father. I don't even know if we really quite think about the fact that the only reason Jesus even died on the cross is because he let them kill him. He said, no, don't get this thing twisted now. Wait. When you guys see them taking me through the street, when you see them whip me, when you see them put a cross on my head, when you see them spit at me, when you see them rip my beard out my face, when you see them nail me, don't get it twisted. The only reason why this has happened is because I let it happen. No man takes my life. I lay it down. This is one of the reasons why my father loves me so much, because he knows that if I wanted to, these nails would pop out like Magneto. He knows if I wanted to, I'd call 10,000 angels. He knows if I wanted to, I'd kill all of these Romans with a snap of my. He knows if I wanted to, the Sanhedrin would be in trouble. He knows what kind of power I have. Let me let you know in case you don't. I have power to lay it down. I got power to take it back up. Don't be surprised when I come back from the dead, because if I want to, I'll come back. This just feeds my notion that's bothersome to you and me, and that is the reluctant death of Christ, is that not only did he didn't have to do it, but he did, and he didn't want to do it, but he did, but he restrained himself. And I don't know if you have ever been hurt physically. It's hard not to snap. I can remember one of my children running into the back of my heel with that cart. Woo! I don't even know how little Bruce survived that sign. I don't know. I don't know if it's ever happened, but I'll tell you what, it was everything in my power not to cuss. That little thing was Rob. I want to push the card. I want to push the card. Rob, I want to push the card. I want to push the card. I said, all right, but don't hit me with the card. Sure enough, not paying attention. Boom, right in the back of my old Achilles. I'll never forget it. He was 6 years old. I'm sorry, Daddy. I wanted to cuss that little boy. As I was leaning, I had to restrain myself. You little ignorant, not paying attention. This is why they don't want you to move forward in school. It was nothing. It was everything I could do not to dog him. It's one thing. I can only imagine them hitting Jesus, and Jesus saying, oh, my God, you done put that. You done put that nail through my corn. The restraint of Christ. For Jesus to say to Pilate, my kingdom is not of this world. If I wanted to, I'd kill everybody here. Y'all better be glad I went past Annie, boy. You wouldn't nobody be celebrating Pastor Annie's birthday. Y'all be calling it. You be celebrating a whole nother kind of Easter. It'd be the day that all the Romans died. It'd be the day that everybody blew up in their bodies. Hey, you better keep your eye on Jesus. The reason why I brought all that up is because it's one of the things that's amazing to me about Jesus, and I'm gonna throw it on the screens for you, and that was that Jesus was unfazed by people. Jesus was unfazed. If we think that the Pharisees and the Sadducees and the Romans and all of it in a conspiracy, if we think that's what took him down, we got another thing coming. And if you think that man can do something to you, you got another thing coming. Here's your another thing coming. If God is for you, who can be against you? My Lord, my God. But if you think Jesus was I'm amazed by it. Jesus had the ability to be unfazed by people. I think I preached a sermon some years ago, maybe 10 years ago now or something, in which I talked about Jesus was delivered from people. Jesus was delivered from people. How many of us need to be delivered from people? Oh, my Lord, I've been delivered from drugs, but I'm not delivered from people. People get on my last nerve. I'm delivered from alcohol. I'm not delivered from people. I've been delivered from all kinds of wildness and not delivered from people. I've been delivered from I've been delivered from tipping 40s to people's. I've been delivered from old Milwaukee. I've been delivered from weed, and I'm not delivered from people. delivered from people. And I'm here to tell you that if you want to pray for deliverance, pray that God will give you this power to be delivered from people. I love church, but it's full of people. I can't wait till we get back. Yeah, I mean, I hear you, but just know I love church too, but church is full of people. I love the earth, but the earth is full of people. Earth is full of all kinds of people. Earth's full of black people. Earth full of white people. Earth full of men. Earth full of women. Woo! Earth is full of people. Love your job. Your job is full of people. Love the customers, but customers are people. I love the mall, but it's full of people. I love my family, but my family is full of people. I love to serve, but serve means people, people, people. Serve means people. I can't wait to serve the Lord. You come to God, Lord, I can't wait to serve you. The Lord says, great. See that stank person over there? Mm-hmm. Yeah. I want you to serve them. No, Lord. I told you I want to serve the Lord. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before his presence with singing. What you talking about, Jesus, with this attitude of somebody over here? Because I came here to serve the Lord. But you can't serve the Lord and not serve people, because serving the Lord is about serving people. And the thing that's amazing about Jesus was that Jesus was totally above the actions of people. That's why I read this passage there in Luke, because Jesus is in his hometown. He goes to Nazareth, where he was brought up. They hand him the scroll of Isaiah. He reads it. He says, the Spirit of the Lord God is upon me because he has anointed me. I'm anointed. I came to announce my ministry. He figured he'd go home to announce it. He figured he'd go to where people supposed to love him and like him to announce it. He figured he'd go to where he'd have support to announce it, to let them know something has happened. Today, this word is being fulfilled in your hearing. Y'all are the first to get to see that I'm anointed and I can heal and I can change and I can make something happen if you'll only believe me. Thought Johnny, thought son, that his home folk would like it. Thought his home people, he thought his cousins and his mom and them and his uncles, and he thought that they would be the people that would rise to the occasion and say, Jesus, we got you. We've known you since you was little. You've always been good. You've always been right. You always have done the right stuff. He figured that he would announce it at home and be supported. And his home people decided to kill him. Oh, good God. Who am I talking to? You think strangers want to kill you? Strangers don't want to kill you. It's people who know you that want to kill you. It's people that raised you that want to kill you. It's people that's supposed to love you that want to kill you. It's people that see you every day that are jealous of you and envious of you. It's not some stranger. It's the folk that know you best who love you least. Jesus figured, I'll go home and tell them something's about to happen. I'm the Messiah. And instead of getting support, he got some support, all right. He got pushed out of town. I don't know who this is for. It's not even my point today. Pushed out of town. I know I'm not the only one. Pushed out of town. Wish they had me back now, though. Pushed out of town. Pushed out of the denomination. Pushed out. Any too wild. Any too rebellious. Any too smart. Anything he know. Pushed out by the very people that were supposed to notice and acknowledge the anointing. Pushed out. To a cliff to kill him. And the only reason why I don't really talk about it, and the only reason why I don't really preach about it, is because I just got up and walked right on through haters. I just got up and walked right on through the folk who didn't like it. I just got up and walked right through. They may have wanted to kill me, but I'm still breathing. They may have wanted me to be embarrassed, but how you like me now? Who am I talking to? How you like me now when God got a hold of me? Jesus was above the actions and attitudes of people. For everybody who's feeling some kind of way because of people, can I let you know that you are supposed to be above the actions and attitudes of people? I have to be totally above the actions and the attitudes of people. I wouldn't be able to do what I do if I wasn't above the actions and attitudes of people, if I wasn't above the accusations of people, if I wasn't above the lies of people, if I wasn't above the thoughts of people. If I wasn't above it, I wouldn't be able to do what I do if I wasn't above it. If what folk thought about me could stop me, I wouldn't be on this stage. Somehow, maybe that's why I'm so passionate about this. Somehow, oh my God, somehow, I know I'm not the only one. I need a comment. I know I'm not the only one still a little bit hurt by the rejection of your own blood. How they just failed to acknowledge God's hand on you. And it still bothers you, but I came to let you know that honestly, you are above that. My question is, how did he do it? How was he able to be above the actions and attitudes of people? Well, I got it. You see, the secret is in John chapter 13. Let me just deal with John 8 real quick so that my professors won't be upset with me. Since I read a passage, let me exegete it. I only am saying that they said to Jesus, "Who do you think you are? You're demon possessed." There's almost no greater insult than people calling you the devil when you're trying to be righteous. There's almost no greater insult than somebody saying, "Oh, you want something that you don't want." There's almost no greater insult than you loving somebody and trying to raise somebody in your house as your child, and then someone has the nerve to accuse you of having desires that are not you. There's nothing greater than that. Now, who do you think you are, Johnny White? Who do you think you are, John? Who do you think you are to me? Who do you think you are for you to think you can have what you have and walk like you walk and talk like you talk and preach like you preach and be like you be and spend like you spend and live how you live? Who do you think you are for you to have confidence like that? Told you was this cute. Told you were this smart. Who told you were this gifted? Who do you think you are? Makes me wonder, Jesus, how did you do it? Jesus, how did you do it? I wonder, because it ain't nothing but God that keeps me from cussing folk out, and it don't always work. Sometimes you might get cussed out. Jesus, don't try me every day, because I'm 52 now. And before I turned 50, I regretted what I said. And after I turned 50, I regretted what I didn't say. Oh, hallelujah. You can talk to me if you want to, but like Bruce Lee said, boards don't hit back. If you step to me, be prepared to hear the truth. Because I'm not Jesus. I want to be like him, but not every day. Okay, let me move on. Let me stop telling on myself. What I'm saying to you is, I wonder, Lord, how did you do it? I can tell you how he did it. The secret is in John 13. The way he did it is service. 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 Throw some on the screens for you. Here it is. Service is a shield. Service is a shield. How do you deal with disrespect, Pastor Andy? I'm just here to serve. I was here just to help you as best I could. Jesus said, in that same passage, Jesus said, you know what? Y'all going to be upset. Y'all going to remember this day, and you're going to think, why? Folk are going to say, why didn't you do miracles at home like you did in Capernaum? Because I didn't come to be served. I came to serve. And the only one who's missing out is y'all. You're the only one missing out. How do I deal with the betrayal? Service. How do I deal with the lying? Service. How do I deal with the disrespect? Service. How do I deal with folk calling me out my name? Service. How do I deal with folks thinking something about me that's not me? Service. How do I deal with people thinking they know how I think and they don't know how I think? Service. The way I handle it is, well, I'm just here to serve. I didn't come to rule, I came to serve. I want to be great, so I have to serve. And then in John 13, Jesus gives us a nugget, and I'm sorry it took me 30 minutes to get to it, but it's what I wanted to say this morning, and it's a blessing for somebody. Jesus gets us to see this. Here it is. It's why I named this sermon what I named it. Jesus gets us to understand, and I'll throw it on the screens, that knowledge empowers service. Knowledge empowers service. In other words, the more you know, the more you're expected to serve. You think that when somebody knows a lot, they're just expected to be blessed and have favor. Many of you are thinking to yourself, if I know more and learn more and study more and grow more, then I'll have that knowledge for me to gain stuff. Just be careful that you don't end up a pariah to the world, because don't nothing bother folk more than somebody who knows something and don't help nobody. Well, if you know that, why aren't you helping the world? If you know that, why aren't you giving it to the world? If you got the secret to energy, why aren't you saving the world? Are you trying to say that that knowledge was only given to you for you to be rich? You might end up with money but hate it. You may end up with money but with no allies. You may end up with money but not have no friends. And the money you got can be taken from you if you don't have enough folk on your side. Knowledge empowers service, and it causes me to ask the question, well, what did Jesus know? What did Jesus know that made him above the actions and attitudes of people? What did Jesus know to make him walk through his hometown and never mention it again? Oh, help us, Holy Ghost. Because if this had been a lot of us, we would have told everybody. That'd have been the first part of the Sermon on the Mount. First of all, before I even get started, let me just let y'all know that I was home and I tried to share this and they rejected me. Some of us, all you want to do is get on stage to work out your issues. The stage is not the place for your issues. The stage is not the place for your insecurity. You don't get the mic to talk about what pain was caused you. Folk won't like that. Meghan Markle got on there, and there's some folk that's sympathetic. Some folk is like, Meghan, girl, can you get over it? I mean, I hear you, but you've been black your whole life. Really? There's only but so much power the N-word has if you've been called it enough. Really? I mean, I feel you, but come on. Are you serious? The people that we admire are the people who the knowledge empowers them. Somebody says something about LeBron, like me right now, I'm talking about LeBron. Let me tell y'all something. LeBron James is so big, he wouldn't even deign to know me. He don't know Andy Thompson. He don't know me. He ain't never heard of me, probably. I don't know, maybe. That's wishful thinking. If somebody showed him this clip, he's not going to comment on me. Folk will be mad at him for commenting on me and my little followers. Because he has to be above the actions and attitudes of people. You can't be great and moved by every thought. You'll never be great with a chip on your shoulder. How did Jesus do it? Well, Jesus knew, and it makes me say, well, what did Jesus know? I got 8 minutes, and you know I've got 7 things. Help us, Holy Ghost. I'm going to give them to you because I don't want to have to pick this up where I left off. But let me give you the 7 things Jesus knew. Number one, John 13, verse 1, it says, Jesus knew it was just before the Passover festival. Jesus knew that the hour had come for him to leave this world and to go to the Father. So the first thing is Jesus knew what time it was. What time is it? It's my question. What time is it? One of the things I'm saying to World Overcomers is, what time is it? We got 3 years left on this lease. What time is it? We about to build a building. What time is it? If you don't expect me to ask you for some offerings, you just don't know what time it is. If you have an attitude about me raising money, you just don't know what time it is. But when you know what time it is, then you are ready to serve because you know what time it is. When you know what time it is, you're not really worried about the actions and attitudes of people because you know what time it is. I came to tell somebody today, this is the time. This is the time. When you know your season, it's okay if folks sleep on you. When you know you're in your right season, it's all right to drive a hoopty. This is the time to drive a hoopty. This is the time to struggle. This is the time for stuff to not be perfect. Sometimes when I'm having conversations with my son, and you know, my sons, thank be to God, they're weed free. Hallelujah. And every now and then when I talk to them, okay, what was it? They're just like, well, Dad, I mean, we're not doing it. I get it. It makes sense. But I'm just bothered. I'm like, what are you bothered by? When they tell me stuff they're bothered by, they're like, well, I realize that I don't really have any money. I'm like, you really don't. when you realize how broke you are, but it's okay to be broke when you're 20. It ain't cool to be broke when you're 57. This is the time to be broke. This is the time to whip a car with rust. You got to know what time it is. You will be above the actions and attitudes of people if you know what time it is. And most of you are upset, not because of what somebody said, but because you don't know what time it is. Jesus knew the hour. Jesus knew the time was come for him to get out of this world. He had a very clear, accurate perspective about the time. Second thing, it says, Jesus knew that the hour had come for him to leave this world. Having loved his own who were in the world, he loved them to the end. Number two, Jesus knew his own. How was Jesus to be able to be above the actions and attitudes of people? How was Jesus able to wash feet? Was because he knew who was with him and who wasn't. He knew who was on his side and who wasn't. Something happened here a few years ago in which one of the leaders left and tried to kind of halfway splinter World Overcomers. And I want you to know, after that happened, the giving went up. When folk are looking at me like, well, how did you deal with that? I'm like, well, I didn't want to go into, I'm so glad. I wouldn't want to go into COVID not knowing who was really with me. I wouldn't have wanted to go into this not knowing who was really on my side. I'd rather know now. Part of the reason why most of us are upset is because you thought they were with you, and you haven't honed your ability to know who's really yours. Who is your own? Some of you not ready to be blessed yet because you got too many enemies in your camp. Some of you aren't ready to be blessed yet because you got too many Judases. You don't have just one, you got eight. You don't have just one, you got a couple hundred sitting around fussing about what World Overcomers used to be. You don't even know. And as long as they're there with you, they're weight. I would contend, it's the first time I'm saying it today, I would contend that service is easy when ownership is clear. It's easy to serve you when I own you. I was talking to one of my goddaughters, and she's in her early 30s, and her and I got into a conversation about something she was planning on doing, and I was just like, yeah, no, you're not going to be able to do that. And we had a conversation the other day, and she's just like, I'm just not used to having to get permission to, I'm 32. I'm not used to getting permission to do something that I want to do. And I said, yeah, because no one's ever owned you before. I could tell she felt some kind of way about it. And then I said to her, and I'm throwing it on the screens, and we got to make a t-shirt with this. And that is, anybody who's anybody belongs to somebody. Anybody who's anybody belongs to somebody. For all of you that think you just want to be all to yourself, just know you're going to find yourself depending only on yourself. I said to her, you don't have to belong to me, but that'll be a sad state of affairs, because if you're mine, then I will never hurt you. I will never leave you. I will never forsake you. I got your back if you're mine. The service is easy when the ownership is clear. I started telling her who I belong to, who owns me outright. I have no choice but to go. One of the guys that's over me, my leadership presbytery, his name is Bishop Timothy Clark, gives me covering. Somebody suggested something. What if he was to do this? What if he was to do that? Would you be interested? I said, listen, would I be interested? Let me make it clear. If Bishop Timothy J. Clark tells me to do something, I do it. It ain't no feelings in it. He owns me. Owns. Because when I was starting World Overcomers, I went to him and I said, Uncle Tim, I got this vision for this church, but I don't have enough. And he sowed into this when I wasn't nobody. Well, everybody can be on your side once you have 10,000 people. But who was there for me and fed my babies? Uncle Tim fed my babies, sent me thousands of dollars a month so that I could start this ministry. Do you think that I'm in a position to say no to Bishop Timothy J? I'm telling you now, if you look this and you think, oh, Pastor Andy, you can dish it out, but you can't. No, you just don't know me. And I'm so glad that I belong to somebody, because anybody who's anybody belongs to somebody. Something wrong with you if you don't belong to nobody. And if you don't belong to nobody, that means don't nobody care. That means don't nobody love you. What a sad existence. I'm independent. That's sad. I'm not. Yeah, but you went up there and started that thing all by yourself. No, I did not. Bishop Clark sold into this. My daddy sold into this. Mark Sharona spoke a word that made that happen. Like Carlton Pearson. Listen, I didn't get here on my own. You did not get here on your own. And if you did, and you don't belong to nobody, that's sad. She said, I hear you. I said, no, I understand it's hard for you because you've spent your whole life on your own, not being owned. Can I ask you a question? She said, what, Dad? I said, how's that working for you? How's that working for you? She said, it's not. I said, exactly. So let's not argue about something that's dysfunctional. Let's stop arguing about it like it works for you. It don't work. So now you're in a system where we own you. And if he want to take you somewhere, he got to come talk to us because you're ours. It don't just go like that. Let me move on. I'm going to get in trouble, son. I'm going to get in trouble. No. What else? Hey, what's connected to the second one is the third one. I'll give it to you real quick. The evening meal was in progress, and the devil had already prompted Judas, the son of Simon Iscariot, to betray Jesus. Verse 10 says, Jesus answered, those who've had a bath need only to wash their feet. Verse 10, their whole body is clean, and you are clean, though not every one of you. For he knew who was going to betray him, and that was why he said not everyone was clean. Number three, what did Jesus know? Jesus knew his enemies. Beloved, know your betrayers. Stop the Disney fantasy that everybody like you. Stop the Disney fantasy that everybody's on your side. Just because they clap don't mean they're on your side. Just because they show up for the party don't mean they was on your side. Especially folk who show up after you got there. They didn't like you before. They'll gladly eat your food and drink your wine, but they weren't on your side when you was on your struggle and on your grind. How can you be above the actions and attitudes of people? Well, you at least got to know who the enemies are. You got to sniff them out. You got to sense that disloyalty because not everyone is clean. Ooh, good God. I'm running out of time, son. I need five more minutes. Who'll give me five? Five, 10, 50, 20. I'm pointing to all the chairs. Not everybody's clean. Jesus was above the actions and attitudes of people because he was delivered from the delusion that everybody has his best interests at heart. Delivered from the delusion that everybody loves him. Delivered from the delusion that there's not going to be any enemies. Delivered from the delusion that there's never going to be war. No, we're at war now, son. This is war. Ain't nothing wrong with war as long as you win. Four, five, and six, I can give them to you right connected to each other. Anybody hearing a word from the Lord? I know you don't even want me to stop. I can stop right here and leave you hanging, but I feel God. And so it says, Jesus knew that the Father had put all things under his power and that he had come from God and was returning to God. Those three things. Jesus knew his power, number four. Jesus knew his power, number four. Number five, Jesus knew his origin story. And Jesus knew his final destination, number six. Number one, he knew his power. Number two, he knew where he came from. And number three, he knew where he was going. Most of us are not above the actions and attitudes of people because we do not know our power. We do not know where we started. And we do not know where we gonna end up. Folks, say something because you don't know your power, and it shakes you because you don't know your power. Why you talk like this, Pastor Andy? Well, because I know my power. I know who I am, and I know what I can and I can't do. You can say whatever you want to say about me. I know what I can do, and I know what I can't do. When you know your power, it's all right. It's amazing how we love Marvel origin stories and don't know our own. You don't know where you came from. You don't know what your grandpapa went through. You don't know what your great-grandmama went through. You don't know what prayers they prayed. You don't even know your own origin story. And you're not sure about where you're going. I know whom I believed, and I'm persuaded that he's able to keep that which I've committed unto him against that day. I know where I'm going. I know where I'm headed. I know that there's a heaven to gain and a hell to shun. I know where I'm going. Talk about me if you want to. I know who's really watching. I know who's really keeping track. I don't call out their names because they can't escape me. They can't escape me. I made them. They can't escape me. It don't make no sense saying nothing because they can't escape me. I know who I know my power. I know where I came from. And I know who's really keeping track of the points. You ever be at a basketball game and your kids are playing and the person on the score don't put the score, the right score up? You ever yelling at them? It's 48-42. Listen, you do not have to keep track of the points. God knows what you did. He knows who you taught. He knows who you saved. He knows who you ministered to. He knows. Wouldn't even nobody know their name. He knows that. How am I above the actions and attitudes of people is because I know. And I'm not always above it, but I'm above it today. But how? Why am I above it? Because I know. I know how I got here. I know why I came here. I know why I'm in the ministry. I heard somebody say, Pastor Andy, just after your money. I just laughed. If you only knew. I know who I know how I got here. If you really knew me, you'd know I'd love to do anything than this. I'm smart. I don't have to do this. Matter of fact, there's a little part of it that bothers me. It bothers me that my life is dependent on people's opinion. That bothers me a little bit. The Lord is like, yep. There you go. There's your cross. I know where I'm from. I know how I got here. I know how I ended up in North Carolina. I know how I got here. I know my origin story. I know where I'm going. And then number 7, and I'm done. Jesus came to Simon Peter, and Peter said, Lord, you going to wash my feet? Because after all this knowledge, Jesus started washing feet, took his outside off, wrapped the towel around his waist, started serving. See, if you can't wash feet, it's because you don't know who you are. You don't know what time it is. You don't know who's really with you. You don't know who your enemies are. You're scared because you're not really sure if your service will be reciprocated because you have given to enemies before and they robbed you. You're scared to make a sandwich because the last time you made a sandwich for a man, he just took advantage of that. So now you on sandwich making strike. Without realizing that some of us who are quality won't even look at you if you can't make a sandwich. Oh, you can't make a sandwich? Is that your line? Then I guess you won't be able to ride this ride. I guess you won't be on this train. Good luck with that. And what you didn't know is while you were making me a sandwich, I would have been washing your clothes. While you were serving me, I'd have been trying to serve you. While you were serving me, I think I'm great. If I think I'm great, then I got to open your door. It really means something if I do it. If I say, oh, let me get that for you, you think, oh, my God, it really means something. The greater I am, the more powerful the service. He comes to Simon Peter, and Peter says, Lord, now hold on a second, time out. You need to know these are not regular feet. These are fishermen feet that be running on boards and wood. And are you really planning on washing my feet? And Jesus said, you don't realize now what I'm doing, but later you'll understand. Number 7, Jesus knew what he was doing. He knew what he was doing. And the reason why most of us struggle with serving is because you don't know what you're doing. Part of the reason why most of us struggle with giving is because you don't know what you're doing. Jesus knew what he was doing. Jesus had a plan. Jesus knew that he was setting a pattern. Jesus knew that we would be watching. Jesus knew it's going to be almost impossible to get your children to serve if you don't serve. It's going to be almost impossible to get your children to clean if you don't clean. The world is watching. But when you know what you know, you can serve. Can I get you to serve right now? Can I get you to serve? Can I get you to serve? I'm trying to get you to give. This is building fund offering. Building fund offering. For everyone who cares about us and World Overcomers, and you're a part of us, wherever you may be globally, where we are right now, let me just tell you really quickly, and you can text WOE online to 77977. Before you put a number in there, let me just let you know, we are not long to stay here. We're 18 years old right now. We're 18, right, son? 18? We're 18. 2003, we're 18. We're 18 years old. We turned 18 this year. And all of that time, we've been in leased spaces. And we are on our way to Canaan ownership. Only reason why I haven't really talked about it is because the purchase and sale is just about to be signed. The ink is about to be dry. We've got some land not far from here, and we are about to build. I'm going to be sharing a vision with you. It's really what I'm planning on doing the month of June. Preach through May as much as I can and stick with me through May, but come June and July, I'm going to preach the vision and where we're going. But this is the time. Can I get you to serve? This is the time. This is not time to spend all your money on coffee. This is the time. This is not time to spend your money on shoes. This is the time. This is the time to serve. Can I get you to serve? Can I get you to give something above and beyond your tithes and your offerings? There was a time when I didn't take up offerings like this. I didn't take up offerings this much because I was so conscious of people thinking I just was after their money. But at this point now, I'm above the actions and attitudes of people. I know why I'm here. I know the vision the Lord has given me, and I know it's going to take money for us to do it. And so I want you to give. Can I get you to give? The word says, give and it shall be given unto you again. Good measure, pressed down, shaking together, running over. That's not talking about your tithes. That's talking about what you give above and beyond what you owe to God. Trying to get you to give at least $50. For some of you, 50 is nothing. It's a joke. You spend $50 in a heartbeat. You ain't even thinking about $50. Okay, then $500 for you. For some of you, $500, you don't even know where you lose $500. You almost don't even know where $500. You find $500 in a jacket pocket. Oh my God, it's $500. I put it in there. For you, it's not equal gifts, it's equal sacrifice. $5,000. Can you give? Can you serve? If you really know, you can serve. If you know what time it is, you can serve in this way. If you know who your own is, you know this is your, who is your own, then you can give. You know who your enemies are, then you can give. If I'm an enemy, you won't be able to give. If I'm some kind of shyster, some kind of, I don't know, snake oil salesman, and I'm some kind of trying to trick you out, you won't be able to give. If you know I'm not your enemy, then you can begin. Then you should be able to give. You know your power. You know how you got here. You know if it had not been for the Lord on your side, you wouldn't be here. You know where you're going. You know that you're going to have to stand before the judgment seat of Christ to give an account what you did in this body with your money. If you know what you're doing, you'll give. Anybody who doesn't tithe, anybody who doesn't give, anyone who doesn't sow, this clearly don't know what they're doing. Can I get you to give? Come on, let me pray for you. Lord, I'm praying right now for this building fund offering. Lord, I know you know the plans you have for us, plans not to harm us, plans to give us hope, plans to give us a future. Thank you that the future of us individually and the future of your kingdom are closely tied together. And you bless one by blessing the other. You bless the kingdom by blessing your people. And so God, I ask you to bless your people. I ask you to multiply your people. I ask you to multiply their business. I ask you, God, to make them rich so they can be generous on every occasion. God, we're believing for a debt-free building. In Jesus' name. God bless you as you give. So glad you were with us today. Sundays, Wednesdays. Looks like I've been back sharing a little bit of Wednesdays. I can't promise I'll be sharing this Wednesday. I'll let you know, me and Pastor Al. But we've got a word for you. You need to share that. Many of you, you know this was a word for you and a word for somebody. Share this message. And keep your eye on us. Somebody sent me a DM saying, Pastor Andy, when are we going to meet together? I said, well, so we are. If you are following us on social media, Pastor Andy WOCC, World Overcomers, if you are following us on social media, it's on the screens. If you're following us on social, believe me, sweetheart, we are not going to have service and you not know. If you're not getting emails from us, you better write in. You better write in. I'm not getting any emails from y'all. You better call. You better write in. You better send us something because we have our database in place. And if your information is correct, you should be hearing from us. Best thing is for us to have your phone number. And why not? Don't worry. We're not going to call you in the middle of the night. But we want to be able to reach you. And we know you probably don't check your email as much as you check your text messages. Ooh, I felt the Holy Ghost on that one. Some of you got 1,000 emails just waiting to be deleted because everywhere you go, Pottery Barn wants your email. Sur La Table wants your email. Target wants your email. DirecTV wants your email. Everybody wants your email. And we don't want to be just another one of millions of emails you get every day. Contact us. Give us your cell phone number. Don't worry. We won't do nothing with it. But I don't trust y'all with my cell phone number. What are we, your enemy? I thought you knew who your enemies were. You're never going to be blessed not being able to recognize who is on your side and who's against you. Never. For all of you that were raised in some kind of world or some kind of system in which you now don't trust anybody, that is a sad state of affairs. You got to break that because you will never really be able to be blessed if you can't trust nobody. Because if you don't trust me, then I don't trust you. I don't know, is this Pastor Andy or Daddy? I don't know who's fussing, but I want you to know that we need your information. Make sure we have it. Make sure we have it. What's a contact? What is it? Contact at worldovercomers.church? WOCC online. Contact at WOCConline.org. There you go. They probably threw it on the screens. Contact at WOCConline.org. Listen, if you're not hearing from us, it means we don't have your information. And the best thing for us to have is your cell phone. Oh, y'all done got another level. Oh, really? Have we really? You better know who your enemies are. You can download the app. Download the app. Come on, let me pray for you. Lord, I want to thank you. Thank you. Thank you for our time together. Thank you for your word that's a lamp unto our feet. Thank you for the first Sunday in May. Thank you for the beginning of this week. We give it to you. Thank you, God, that right now we have been empowered to be above the actions and attitudes of people. It's amazing. You have delivered us from people. Don't just deliver us from evil, deliver us from people. Don't just deliver us from drugs, deliver us from people. Don't just deliver us from sexual immorality, deliver us from people. Deliver us. God, as we always pray, bless your people. Make your face shine upon your people. Be gracious to your people. Give peace and favor on your people. Smile on your people. And may the words of our mouth and the meditations of our heart be acceptable in your sight. For God, you're our rock, you're our redeemer. We love you. In Jesus' name, we all said together, amen. God bless you. See you Wednesday. See you next Sunday.